It is an online lecture miniseries, Presidential Great Lives, and UMW Professor Emeritus of History Bill Crowley on the line with us. Bill, I'm looking forward to this. This is sort of Great Lives, but Presidential Great Lives.
Right, Ted. We thought that this would be a good time to focus on presidents, so since it's a presidential election year, so we've chosen six of them that I think will be interesting. I hope they'll be interesting to people, and we're looking forward to it.
What's the setup like for this? How does it operate?
Well, you mean physically? Actually, how do we bring it off? Well,
yeah.
The lectures are taped, and they'll be made available on our website, very much like what we do when we tape our regular Great Lives lectures and archive them, and people can go to the archives and watch previous lectures. Well, these will all be in that same format, so you just go to the Great Lives webpage, and you'll have a link that'll take you to each of the lectures.
We will talk about who you've chosen in just a second, but how did you choose the six presidents that you did?
I knew you were going to ask me that, and I know that a lot of people be asking themselves and will ask me that. Well, there was no magic formula to it, Ted. I tried to choose presidents who had some distinctive characteristic or feature that made them particularly interesting, perhaps very influential ones, but in many cases controversial ones, so that I will be talking about some of the issues that came up during the administrations and also some issues that historians have raised, and talk about their standing among historians over the years and see how they are praised today.
When I looked at this and saw that you were doing this, I just thought, and I think I can even tell in your voice, I mean, I think you have had a really good time doing this.
Well, interesting you say that. I have had a good time doing it. These are people, another thing to be truthful about, one reason I chose them, they're people I know something about. I'm not the expert on all the presidents, but these are ones that I've lectured on a lot over the years. And so I think I have, even though I have not done original research on any of them, and I don't claim to be any world-class expert on them, I do think I've got a pretty good overview of them and could give a pretty good summary sort of lecture about them. But anyway, the reason I was kind of chuckling is that I was about to go up and tape one of them, and they're taped on campus in the auditorium. Of course, that's the odd thing, lecturing to an empty lecture hall.
Yes.
But in any case, not quite the same. I mean, I tend to feed off of student reactions and so forth, and you're lecturing to a camera. It's not quite the same. But I was going to do one, and I don't know, I was maybe expressed some apprehension about it. And my wife said, "What are you talking about? You love to talk about these people." And that's true. I've chosen people that have been some of my favorite topics over the years, and I did have a lot of fun with it.
Oh, I can tell. I can tell just by the enthusiasm in your voice. So yeah. It starts on August the 11th, and Thomas Jefferson is your first person.
Yeah, he's the only one. I should back up a bit and say that my expertise in history, such as it is, tends to be 20th century, and even more particularly post-World War II. But also, one of my teaching fields was Southern history, and that's the way I came to Jefferson, more through the history of the South than through national history or you know, a larger view. I was kind of focused on Jefferson, and the lectures kind of focused on him. But so happens that the focus that I will take is the very thing that historians have been focusing on with Jefferson for the last couple of decades. And that is, this is what makes him today so controversial, that's his views on race and slavery. I mean, I don't want to give you the whole lecture now, but Jefferson over the years was regarded as a paragon of democracy, you know, a Mount Rushmore figure, you know, and so on. Well, there was almost no criticism of him. One of the founders, and obviously a great intellectual, accomplished in many fields, George Will some years ago at the turn of this century, wrote a piece. It was also the turn of the millennium, and George Will wrote a piece in which he claimed that Jefferson was the most important figure on the planet in the last 1,000 years. Now, that's pretty extreme, but he makes a pretty plausible case for it. So Jefferson was regarded with veneration and great acclaim almost without exception for many, many years, until post-civil rights era, people began to examine more closely his racial views and the fact that he was a slave owner, the paradox being that he was this man who had those great writings on human freedom and, indeed, the bedrock of American democracy, that all men are created equal, you know, with the Declaration and so on. Well, he owned slaves. So you have the charge that he was really, basically, a racist hypocrite. And so that's what I'm going to be talking about. I mean, how fair is that criticism of Jefferson? Look at some of his racial views, which aren't pretty, I can tell you that. But he was a figure of the 19th century, yep. 18th and 19th century. But anyway, didn't mean to talk too much about Jefferson, but he is probably, of the six we're doing, probably the most controversial one. So we'll be talking about that.
August 25th, you delve into Theodore Roosevelt.
Well, Roosevelt is on this list. Well, number one, he's important. He is sometimes called the first modern president. He was the first president elected in the 20th century. He also was, and this will surprise some people, the youngest person ever to serve as president, and still is. And then I'm sure some people will say, wait a minute, what about Kennedy? Well, there's a catch there, the trick question. I tell my students, watch out for tricks on this one, because Kennedy was indeed the youngest elected president. But Roosevelt, who came to office through the assassination of McKinley, actually took office at an earlier age. They were both 43, but it's a matter of months difference. But still to this day, Theodore Roosevelt's is the youngest person ever to serve as president. But I chose him. Really, Ted, I think Teddy Roosevelt is perhaps the most interesting president in American history in so many different ways. He, of course, was in the vanguard of the progressive movement for reform and so forth. But personally, he was such an intriguing individual. And he was that's a mixed view too. He had some question about his racist views and so on. Mm-hmm. But he was a man of his time, so he had some things about him that today we would, and particularly apparently some animus against Latin Americans that we don't find very attractive today. But none of these people that I talk about are without blemish. But I've always found Theodore Roosevelt to be one of the most fascinating figures.
September 8th, Woodrow Wilson. I look forward to this because the more and more you read and hear about Wilson and his wife and different things, mm-hmm. there's a lot there to Woodrow Wilson, way more than I remember when I was in school and taking history classes about mm-hmm. hearing about Woodrow Wilson. We're starting to learn more about him, it seems.
Yeah, there have been several biographies to come out fairly recently, but I think the overall image of Wilson, to some extent, has remained true pretty much all along, and that is the animating force in his life was religion. There's no doubt about that. He was a staunch Presbyterian, very righteous, some people would say self-righteous, pious kind of individual, and that had some impact certainly on his foreign policy. Inclined him not to want to compromise, that one historian said whenever somebody opposed him, in his mind, the devil was his enemy. He was so secure in his own beliefs. But a very tragic figure, certainly toward the end of his life, with the defeat of the League of Nations. Well, he wasn't defeated. It went into effect, but without the United States. The United States never signed on to it. So that failed. That was his main project, but eventually the ideas were resurrected in the United Nations, which we still have. So some of his ideals have lived on, but he himself came to a tragic end.
September 22nd, FDR, again, another controversial president.
Well, he certainly was, and with good reason, because his administration was really changed. Fundamentally, I think, changed American life from that day to this. So many things that came about during the New Deal have become so much a part of our lives today that we could hardly imagine how it must have been without them. And it's a very long list, but there's a great extension of government involvement, leading his critics to say, his conservative critics to say, he was socialistic and he was leading the road to communism and all the rest, particularly with projects like TVA and so on. But probably the greatest legacy that comes out of it to today is the Social Security system. But so many things that we just take for granted really grew out of Roosevelt's New Deal.
October 6th, it's Harry Truman.
Well, again, it's one of my favorite characters. Such an unlikely president and such an unlikely success. Now, I say success, once again, historians debated, was he successful or not? Most people generally, historians, have applauded his role in foreign policy. That is to say, his policy of containment against communism seemed to have worked in Europe and with the Truman Doctrine, the Marshall Plan, NATO, and so on. Although they say, well, he didn't accomplish much on the domestic front. But other historians more recently have kind of turned it around and said maybe his domestic policy was more successful than his foreign policy, in that they claim the foreign policy was so confrontational it led to a Cold War that lasted for decades after that, perhaps could have been avoided by a more conciliatory approach. But on the other hand, his domestic policy pointed toward the future in that he was the first unambiguous advocate of rights of the black Americans. Desegregated the armed forces, for example, or ordered an end to discrimination in federal employment, and really pointed the way toward, after his presence, the Brown decision, the civil rights movement, and so on. So great accomplishments. The thing is, nobody had any reason to anticipate this. Harry Truman was virtually unknown when he became president.
Yeah.
And people say, well, he was vice president under Roosevelt. Yes, but only for the last term. He'd only been vice president for a couple of months when he became president. And his background was not particularly reassuring. But he was a tough a guy. Some said too tough. But anyway, very interesting figure.
And you'll wrap this up on October 20th with JFK.
Yeah. You know, Ted, to show you how long I've been at this game at Mary Washington, I remember when I started teaching, it was hard for me to adjust to the fact that my students didn't remember Jack Kennedy. Well, to students today, Jack Kennedy is as far back as like Martin Van Buren would be to me. I mean, it's totally ancient history. But I think he remains, as far as I can tell, a widely revered figure in American politics. And the question is, and this is what I'll deal with in my lecture, is was that greatness, that perceived greatness as Camelot and all the glitz and all, was it all style and no substance, or more so much style that the lack of substance was overlooked? But that's the kind of thing we'll look at and try to come up with some appraisal of his rightful place in the history of presidents.
Well, and I look forward to...
Ted, excuse me, but let me tell you one other thing about Jack Kennedy. I used to give my class that I taught in U.S. since 1945, first day a few little quiz, just for fun, ask them a few questions, kind of see what they knew. And one of the questions I would ask is, who do you think was the greatest president since World War II? Almost unanimously, they said Kennedy. And so the image still remains, and believe this or not, there was a national survey several years ago, perhaps you remember this, a reputable survey firm, I don't know what it was, took a national survey asking the question, who is the greatest president in American history? Are you ready for this?
Yeah.
Kennedy. Greater than Jefferson, greater than Washington, greater than FDR, according to this poll. So the image is certainly still out there, so we'll try to kind of give a consideration of how valid that is.
That's so interesting, because everything you read that, his reelection was far from being assured. At that time.
Certainly, it was far from being assured. It's hard to say how that would have happened. But people forget a lot of things about Kennedy. For one thing, he was regarded and disliked in the conservative portion of the electorate, and particularly in the South, was disliked because of his presumed liberalism.
Yeah.
Well, at the time, his record up to becoming president was far from radically liberal. He was... regarded in the Senate, his Senate career leading up to his presidency, as being, middle of the road, but he certainly was no paragon of liberalism by any means.
Right. Well, I look forward, Bill, to watching these and just sort of taking in and getting your views on some of this. I think these six presidents is going to be an interesting watch, and I really look forward to this.
Well, I appreciate that. I will say, in my own behalf, since maybe nobody else will, I'll say that I do think I try to take a moderate, reasonable approach to these, but that's, I guess, my nature and my professional tendency as well, is to view both sides and to try to take a balanced view toward them and present differing opinions and let the people, you know, decide what they will.
Well, and this like you say, coming up on an, as you know, coming up on an election year, elections matter. And these six played key pivotal roles in American history.
Well, they did. Some, I think, more influential than others, but all of them, I can pretty well tell you, are interesting lives, and I hope people will enjoy them.
Well, and with the way things stand, I guess the Great Lives series, I would think probably next year is probably very, you know, in doubt at this moment. So this is our chance.
Yeah, people ask me frequently, what about Great Lives for 21? And the only answer I can give them is that I simply don't know. I don't think we can say right now. I do believe, though, that it's unlikely. I mean, I hope everything comes to pass with a vaccine and all that, so we can go back to business as usual. But it's looking less and less like that, I guess. And so, you know, when we had those lectures in Dodd Auditorium, the place was packed.
Yeah.
Well, certainly those days are gone for the foreseeable future.
Yeah.
So I've given a lot of thought to it, and the gist of it is we're going to do something. And it may be a mix, like so many schools that are going back into operation, and Mary Washington, in fact, as some of it, you know, real-time, you know, in-person, as it was before. Not as it was before, but anyway, in other words, personally, but a lot of it online.
Yeah,
electronically. So I'm thinking it may be a mix, or it may turn out that it has to be altogether electronic. And if it does, I'm thinking that we may do something that my wife's encouraged me to do for years. That is, utilize more of our own local talented professors, and we have some excellent ones. So it might be a good chance for us to use more of our own people rather than bringing in people from all over the country. That's been a good thing too, because it brings in people that otherwise our students in the community wouldn't get to hear and to see, but we may do more local Mary Washington faculty. I just don't know, but we hope to do something. That's for sure.
Yeah. You need to listen to your wife. I think that's a great that is a great idea. UMW.edu/greatlives, and that's where you can watch these. And again, this is a great presidential Great Lives, and the timing is great. And I'm getting tired of watching a lot of these same old shows. So I look forward to watching you, Bill.
Well, I appreciate it, Ted. I certainly have enjoyed doing them, and I hope that people will enjoy them.